Welcome back, everybody. We're here Tuesday night, Chicken Fried with Chicken Fried. I'm your host, Bill, with Chicken Fried Barbecue, my good friend Phil Breeden with LC Barbecue. And, man, we got a special one tonight. We got Heath Riles joining us. So, we're really excited about this one. But, man, make sure you're sharing. Make sure you're hitting the like button. Man, we're dropping new episodes. We are on episode 8. For 8 weeks in a row, we've stuck with this, bro. episode 8, and man, we're going to be doing them every Tuesday. Me and Phil talk about the show all week long. And, of course, we're out at contests, and people are coming up to us. And, man, they're loving the show. And, man, we really don't know what we're doing. And, man, some of it's about shigging, but me and Phil were talking last week. Like, man, I don't even know if we even have – I mean, we're going to try to shig Heath Riles, but, man, I think he's got all his stuff on the internet, on YouTube. Y'all can check out his YouTube channel. I know his his rib recipe from Memphis when he won first place ribs at Memphis. Man, I know he's put that on there with his competition rub. So, but we'll see what we can shig off of him. But equally so – man, he was just down in Houston and cooking Houston, which was a different experience for him. And much like us going to Memphis and trying to do baby backs, it'd be completely different for us. But yeah, my weekend, man, it's pretty uneventful. Finished 7th overall. Got $2,100 for a third place rib. I don't really call
that uneventful. I mean, really?
we had 100+ teams, and man, they had a shitload of money to hand out. And
they did.
And I was happy to get in there. And I think right before my rib call, Donald was next to us. Remember that? Man, how was your ribs, Bill? Man, my ribs were good. And then all of a sudden, there went my song. So that was kind of a classic moment. Man, Phil's weekend was a little bit different. him and KP, we got a good KP story this weekend. And I wish it would have been on video. I really do. It would be classic if we had it on video. But, man, I know anything about it. But, on video. Man, I know it wasn't textbook at all. Man, I'll let you lead into that.
I felt like I was in a movie there for about 10 minutes. Can't make it up. But I will take that 14th place for $500. I don't think I've ever had a 14th place pay $500 on that brisket. So I will take that all day long. And I did get the other meats turned in. I mean, ribs were fine and all. And yeah, chicken was an adventure this weekend. It's just what it turned out to be.
Yeah, you had a little fire on the chicken, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of all over the board. It started out really good. Like, man, no problems. And, man, I've kind of started converting or playing around with doing the chicken on the old smoky. I've got these, whatever the normal size is, but... man, I'm like, I need those big boys. So I got a couple of those big boys, and I've been practicing them at the house, and I did the comp before on it. Man, everything's rocking along pretty good for the most part. And, man, this week, you know, it was really windy. We had 20-mile-an-hour winds. It was cooking through there. In hindsight, it's probably what caused me so much problems. But man, I got the chicken on the old smoky, and I do halves and wings. And, man, I got my halves and wings on the old smoky. So I got quite this little little Lego action going on or whatever, a little Tetris situation going on the old smoky. And I looked and I'm like, that guy's not quite as hot as I want it to be. And I peek in there and I'm like, man, those coals are dying pretty quick. I need more coals. I ain't going to make this chicken cook. So, and Kit's standing right there, you know, we're cooking right next to each other. And he goes, put them on the crawfish burner. You want to light some up? And I'm like, that's a really good idea, Kit. You know, I'm thinking back to Bill's, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and you put some coals on there. It got bitter. I'm like, light them up. I like it. And he drags around the crawfish burner. You know, I mean, it's 4 foot tall. You know, I mean, it's enough. I don't know. Industrial strength crawfish burner.
60,000 BTUs.
Something like that. You know, and I'm thinking, man, this is perfect. And so we fill up a charcoal basket, man, put it on there. You know, we got the fire going. And he's like, man, it's going to take 10 minutes to get them lit. I'm like, and I got 10 minutes, Kit. We need to light them faster than that. Crank it up. I mean, you got that torch thing for the top. You know, he's got that, I don't even know what you call it, but it's like a wand. It looks like a walking cane with the green bottle attached to it, you know, a little whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so, man, he gets that guy fired up. Man, we got it from the bottom and the top. And we're on these coals, and we're going to get them lit up. And about that time, he's got that little wand and he's holding it. And he goes, man, I really need to wrap the briskets. Man, here, give me that. I'll hold that thing. You know, go ahead, do what you need to. And he hands me that wand. And And I'm on the top, and all of a sudden, boom, and the hose to the propane tank is like on fire. Like it's going down the hose, and I'm just going to imagine getting blown up by a propane tank. He turns, whoa, man. And I don't even know what he did. You know, he hits a bottle, it goes out, and we're good. And when we had done that, man, we got this fire going. I see this fire. And, man, I got this wand, and I yank her back, you know. And he gets it
on the wand is still lit.
Yeah, the wand is still lit. So I come back on top. I'm like, man, I was close. We almost got blown up by a propane tank. And I'm sitting there about 30 seconds later. I look behind me. There's this grass fire. And apparently whenever I took that wand and slung it back, I was pointing it at the grass behind me. It just lit all the grass on fire behind me. So yeah, we got a grass fire and I can't do anything because I'm holding this wand thing that's on fire and I don't know how to turn it off. And I'm like, hold this, you know, and I'm getting a water bottle and we're squirting a water bottle and it's a little fire at the time. And it quickly becomes a larger fire. And every time we hit it with water, man, it pops up in a new spot. It's growing really quick and the wind's blowing. I'm like, man, this ain't good. It's going for Fred's truck. So the fire's growing. Man, he gets the 1977 Gott water cooler that he carries around. And I mean, he just went big and boosh, all this water over there. And man, he hit it and he got it put out. So we managed not to burn Fred's truck down, which is a bonus. We got the fire contained. Coals are like, man, let's get those coals on that bit. I'm like, man, that's a good idea. Time to stop fucking around with these coals. And I'm thinking to myself, like, how are we going to do this? Because I know I've got all this chicken stacked on there, and I got to get the grate up, and I'm looking for gloves. And I really wasn't paying attention, but I turn around, I hear this racket, and my chicken sprawled out all over the concrete. You know, he took the lid, and, you know, he was going to open the lid, and, man, he didn't really realize what kind of, you know, building block situation I had with all the chicken stacked on there, and the probe grabbed the rack, and man, the chicken just went sprawling all over the concrete. I'm like, kid, what are you doing? You know? Oh man, I'm sorry. I just started picking up chicken.
How much time to turn in when this happened? How much time?
And this was about 11 o'clock. So I don't know where everybody else's chicken was about 11 o'clock. Wow. But man, mine was on the concrete at 11 o'clock. I like to just rolling around on the concrete a little bit, you know, just to get it tempered. And so anyway, I just picked up all the chicken, took it back in the trailer, and man, I'm picking grass off of it, gravel, whatnot. Yeah, I do the best I can. I get it cleaned up, get the fire tended to, and I don't know, within a few minutes, I get it back on there, and I'm like, oh my God, what a shit show. About caught the whole parking lot on fire. Chickens all over the concrete. I mean, it's a total disaster. And I couldn't be mad because it was just hilarious. I mean, it was just so funny. You couldn't make it up. It's like the producer said, here, boys, here's what we're going to do in the next scene. That's what it felt like to me. But yeah, so I did get the chicken turned in, and I was happy with the chicken, man. I taste them like, man, it. And I kind of pulled that one out, you know, pulled the rabbit out of the hat on that one. And I really thought I got away with it. We go to awards, right? I don't get a chicken call. I don't get a rib call. I get a brisket call. We get our sheets. I've got one comment. I don't have any more comments. Chicken, little gritty.
And you immediately and
I
show that.
I got all the gravel out of it. What?
And you immediately show that comment to Kit. I remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Chicken's a little gritty.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. But, you know, in all seriousness, he felt super bad. I know, man, I think it might have even run his cook because he felt so bad. It's one thing to kind of, you know, I don't know, screw up your own cook. But, man, none of us want to screw up our neighbor's cook. And he certainly wasn't trying to do that. He was trying to help me, you know. But in Kit Polk fashion, you know, and I know that everybody's got pics of the grass fire. So we at some point need a visual on all this. It would have been so much better if it was on
film. Now, I think Fred tried to record it because he came to my trailer afterwards. He goes, oh bro, man, I got something for the show. I got it on record. Let me send it to you. Cause I think Fred was trying to record it with his phone, but man, something happened and man, he only had 2 seconds. I don't know if he double hit the button or something, but man, he thought he had it on recorded on his phone, but
That would have been pure gold.
It would have been great. So.
Never a dull moment.
No. Man, we won't go into the restaurant scenes. Maybe we'll talk about the restaurants backstage. We'll save that for backstage.
Whole nother story.
A whole nother story. Yeah. So, but no, I think
it's a reality show. Nobody's filming it.
I'm telling you, man, we got Heath coming on. Both me and you were on his podcast at the Royal Oak. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Heath's got a podcast. It's a video podcast, much like this. Man, probably a lot better because, man, he's got like professional editors and stuff. We've got nothing. We're just
game plan and everything, you know?
Yeah, I think he's got a game plan.
We need to show up at 8 on Tuesday.
Yeah. I'm just glad he decided to show up and do our, so we'll bring him in. And I got Chris Schaefer as well. He's co-hosting today. He's man, he's got some history with Heath, and man, both of them cooked Houston Rodeo. Heath cooked it this year and Chris cooked it the year before. So man, we'll hear about their experiences with that, but let's add them to the feed, if you will. There you go. What do you say, Mr. Riles?
What's going on, guys?
And just double barbecue 24/7, you know. Barbecue 24/7, you know how it is. So what do you say, Chris?
What's up, boys?
It's all good, man. All good.
So, you know, I got a quick story that you guys will love. I totally forgot about this. I cooked in Florida a couple weeks ago, and Dad didn't go. You guys know how important my dad is to my cook, right?
It's everything.
Yeah.
So my brother-in-law went with me and he's like, "Hey, what do I do?" I'm like, "Dude, just light pits. Keep an eye on the pits. That's about it." So I got my ribs on the rack. I walk out to the pit. I open the rib drum. I close the rib drum and I walk back inside. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "Well, you didn't light the rib pit." And he's like, "Oh, I didn't, did I?" I'm like, "Nah." He goes, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I guess I'm going to light the rib pit." So I throw a Weber cube in there. I light it. I get a leaf blower and I just blow on that thing for about 8 minutes as hard as I can. I go get the ribs, put them in, second place ribs. So,
right.
Burn them later.
It was great. He goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "Well, you didn't light the rib pit. So I guess I'm going to do that."
Yes, he thought you were just going to skip over ribs, right?
I mean, he was just there to have a good time. He didn't give a shit how I did.
Man, I tell you what, you hear a lot of these podcasts, people ask questions about, man, what's your worst experience cooking? Man, I think from now on, man, my worst experience is going to be your experience, Phil. I'm going to use that story. If I ever get interviewed I ain't got a really bad experience, but my buddy Phil's got one, you know.
Man, he's got a Rolodex full of them.
And you do have several of them, so.
I watched. I watched a drunk guy leaving a contest, which is funny to say, drunk guy leaving a contest, and he backed into this guy's grill and knocked the grill over and hit his other smoker and almost knocked it over. But he literally backed into his pits and then just drove off.
And I thought my day was bad.
No,
he did set the garbage can ablaze over the weekend too.
Yeah, there was a garbage can that caught on fire that almost caught my rig on fire.
Man, hot coals in a Rubbermaid plastic can is a no-go, people. You know what I mean? I don't know where somebody thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, if you're watching the show and you're the guy that actually put the hot coals in the Rubbermaid trash can next to my pit, because we were all at dinner, and I started getting phone calls. "Where's your fire extinguisher?" "Man, it's inside my rig." "Man, is it locked?" I'm like, "Yeah, it is locked." "Man, okay, no, you know, I'll call you back." And I'm like, "Man, what the hell?" And then Danny Reagan calls me, "Hey, man, your rig was almost on fire, but we got to put out with fire extinguishers." So somebody dumped their hot coals in a fucking trash can right next to my rig. And, you know, all the smoke was blowing and they were on the other side. And all they could see was smoke and flames behind my rig. But luckily enough.
Hey, man, your rig's on fire again.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So,
I bet Heath's never done anything dumb in a contest.
I've had my meat stolen at a contest. Wake up and no meat in the cooler. Left my cooler outside and wake up and my ribs completely gone. I was 4 parking spaces down at the entrance of a hotel, a nice hotel in Georgia, and my tailgate got stolen off of F-250, and that's an expensive tailgate, about $9,000.
Yeah, they are. They
always hit the nice hotels. Pro tip.
Yeah. I mean, when I've been on those trips, I've seen people
I hit the Thunderbird.
People that I've cooked with, like, pull the trailers under, like, low hotel awnings and, like, run into, like, crushed trailers and buildings. Oh, yeah. I've seen all kind of stuff. I've seen DUIs, people leaving the contest and then getting brought back in Corvettes next morning, at a limousine.
Right.
You know, they do it different here in the Memphis area. So they, like, celebrate that. Slacking.
They celebrate that.
But I think that, I'm not going to call any names. And since y'all are like telling all these crazy stories, the most crazy one I've got to say is I seen some girls that were mad at another girl because there was like an affair situation going on. Pee in that girl's beer cooler. And then that girl watched that girl drink the beer all night.
We need to get a camera down in Memphis, I think, you know.
It sounds like it.
Memphis was the glory days, man. Glory days. It's not like that anymore.
Right. And well, what'd you think about Houston? I think I've heard you talk about it, about how big it is and whatnot. I'm sure you were probably a little bit, I guess, you know, taken back by just the size of these damn tents, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's really awesome to see that many people get engaged to the level of barbecue that they do in Houston and Texas in general. I mean, a lot of people around here, I've traveled a lot and seen a lot of different contests, but I've never been to, like, Houston, one of the major events like that. And it was just incredible for logistics, you know, and it being a month long event and it never stops, the way that they nonstop do things and just the flow of alcohol and bartenders. And I mean, it's pretty wild. I'll say that it's wild.
I can tell you, man, when I was down there, I walked until like I couldn't walk anymore. I'd go take a break and then walk some more type thing. And I didn't see the whole thing. And I know I didn't, you know.
I probably didn't see a third of it because I was so in and out and people stopping me and doing other things and trying to concentrate on the contest those couple days and not really knowing what to expect either. You know what I mean? And then my wife had two flats and had to deal with that situation.
You were cooking for the tent too, for some of the VIPs for the tent as well, right?
Well, that was only on like Friday at like 2 o'clock. I cooked some stuff Friday morning. We did some ribs and it was not really competition style. It was to me more like good deer camp ribs. But it was some of the better ones they've ever had. You know what I mean? We didn't babysit them like we normally do. Right. But they were good. We did a little spill to about, I think, 15 IT executives. It was really nice to meet some of those guys. That was pretty cool, but it was different with the tagging and stuff like that and not getting a better – I mean, I had a good understanding of it, but our rep was a little bit different to those guys. He, like, give them 15 minutes. That was it. I mean, completely it. But I made it work. It is what it is. Next year I'll be a little more prepared. We'll see what happens.
I think the challenge, too, is all these reps have different interpretations of the rules. Yeah. You know, I was sitting, you know, with some of the committee members and, man, they were asking me questions. It was after turn-ins. And they were asking me if people really get DQ'd if they're a minute late. And I'm like, man, if they're a second late at a CBA or a KCBS, the party's over. They're not taking the box. And they were explaining to me that, man, we even go as far. Now, this is the vice president of the barbecue committee. He said, we'll go as far as start making phone calls if we're missing a box. These teams out here are raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity, and the last thing we want to do is DQ somebody. So, man, their definition of window is a lot different than our definition of window as a normal competition, if you will. So,
as long as you kind of know that going in it, you know what I mean? Being optimistic, I mean, I go down there and give it a great shot. I thought I cooked a really good brisket. I thought that we had decent chicken. And my ribs, honestly, for it to be one of my better categories, they did get away from me. I probably left them on the drum. They probably should have been wrapped about 20 minutes sooner. But I was running my mouth and having a good time and maybe having a cocktail by that time. And it just is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things too. And because I think it's like who you talk to, because you get a different answer all the time. And there's a guy, I guess he'd won it a couple of years prior, and he's like, oh, you got to turn in, I think he said 7 ribs. And then our ambassador said you had to turn in 9. And then a guy posted his box and it was 8. And I think the guy was on the stage. And I'm like, well, what are you supposed to do? But like my ambassador said, you had to have 9. And the box was small. I remember I put 4 on the bottom, 5 on the top to get 9 in. You know, and he said I had to have 9.
Yeah. Rodeo is its own, you know, and like I said, I talked to them. They told me that this was the first year that they were, I guess in years past, you could turn in pieces of chicken. And this year it was strictly a half. But man, I think the guys told me, man, we're on a 3-year plan to kind of get it all synchronized. So even I have a feeling even if someone turned in pieces, they probably wouldn't have DQ'd them. They're trying to slowly, you know, train everyone over a 3-year period that, man, the rules are no burn-ins. Because before, man, people turned in burn-ins. And, you know, now they're not allowing burn-ins. They're sticking to a half. But, man, it's a lot of guys that aren't necessarily comp guys that are kind of running those committees and, man, trying to do the best they can and pick, you know, they came out to a couple of CBA events and watched a CBA event to figure out, you know, like this was the first year that you were allowed to dust and au jus your brisket. In years previous, it was against the rules. You just had to cut it and put it in, but they, man, they even put a YouTube video about it saying you can dust and finish your brisket, but you can't finish it with sauce, but you can finish it with au jus and sauce has to be cooked on. So, but yeah.
They specifically told me last year that I couldn't.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, this year they did a big change. They had a big meeting. They put up a YouTube video saying you can do it this year. And I think some of that was they had went to a CBA event about 2 or 3 months before and a bunch of the rodeo committee was there. Man, and they watched and they interviewed teams. And man, I even had them asking me, what would you dust your brisket with? Why would you dust it? You know, they just don't understand of adding that extra bit of flavor at the end. They, to them, it's, man, just cut the brisket, put it in the box, and best brisket wins. But hopefully they'll get there. We'll see. You know, like I said, I think no matter what they do, when you get numbers like that, it's still a man, it's still a, like I think you'd said earlier, you got to cook good and get lucky. You got to have both of them. So
you definitely got to have both of them. Any big contest.
Good smelling barbecue.
Well, the way I look at it, if you got 24 teams and you rotate the tables each category, that's a perfectly set contest. Perfect. Yep. I mean, I know you can double it to 48, but really a perfectly set contest is 24. You really want to play tough man.
And even at that, though, some tables are a lot better to certain categories than others, too. So, I mean, here's the thing, man. If you're looking for it to be fair, go do something else. Like, just turn in barbecue, hope you get lucky, and just hope you get more calls than you get, you know, sitting on your hands and be,
man,
happy.
Go play golf. Man, go play golf because you know what your score is going to be. Man, barbecue, you turn it in, you got no idea what your score is going to be, you know. So,
well, I kind of like the whole idea of the people's choice judging like they do in Texas, but at least defining the rules the day of said judging to say, you know, the teams can't put burn-ins or it's only this or only a chicken. I kind of like that where everybody's playing by that same standard, but then you can kind of do whatever you want to by that standard. you know what I mean?
Here's the rules, but they don't really mean a whole lot. Bill said, man, you could probably turn in pieces of chicken this year and not get DQ'd. No, they're not going to DQ you. They're going to put you on the stage.
Man, I didn't turn in pieces. So
I don't like the idea of just slicing your brisket and turning it in and best brisket wins because Fred's going to win every year. Like, if we can't doctor it a little bit, how are we going to compete with Fred?
How can you beat Fred, right? Man, he was supposed to co-host. You know, Wes Garrett was our co-host. Man, he canceled at the last minute. Text me today, hey, man, I can't make it. And then I asked Fred to jump in and, you know, keep up with the comments. So sorry if we're not keeping up with the comments, guys. We'll go back and watch them all after the show. But
truthfully, Bill, this is the best job Wes has ever done.
I think you're probably right, Chris. I think you're probably right.
Wes,
yeah, that's being rough there.
And I'm sure Wes will be in the comments, even though
he will be. He knows we're going to talk shit on him.
Yeah, you know he's going to be in the comments.
Wes went to Smoke on the Shores on Monday so that he could pee in my spot all week. He said. So when I get there on Friday, there's going to be a smell.
It smells right. Like ammonia.
I ain't gonna tell him what he's up to.
So. Are you still doing a lot of contests, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I was wanting to run pretty hard this year, honestly. But you know how it is having a business. My restaurant's kind of require me to be there a little bit, so I had to pull back. And I'm gonna still cook a couple a month if I can. But man, I wanted to run hard. I talked to Bill all winter about trying to run hard, and I don't think it's gonna be in the cards. But I'll still cook. I enjoy cooking.
I can bounce around. You know?
Heath sent me more stuff for my class than I could even give away. I had so much stuff. I was like, I'm not even gonna put this in bags, guys. There's just like there's a box up here with like 50 of everything. Just tell Heath, thank you, please.
Right. Well, we're trying to do our best to get our brand out there, and you know, you've been implementing some of our products into your competition scene, and it's hard out there these days. Everybody's got really good products, and so we always try to take care of certain guys and help out, and we always try to do fundraisers and things like that. Kind of gotten to that point with us, so always glad we can help when we can.
The problem with having a competition rub, we all have them, all four of us, at least a product, I should say. Like, the problem is that, like, you know, tons of people start using your stuff. As soon as they hear a guy getting calls with something else, they're off your stuff. It's that fast. Like, you can lose a customer as soon as you gain one, and you'll get more. But to have people out there using your stuff and being successful is a big win. And if you guys haven't mixed Heath's chicken rub with my white label 50-50 on some chicken, you are missing out.
First tip of the night.
Everybody has a different mixture of what they use, of whose rubs and what. And I just think it's so cool. I mean, I kind of started out that same way too on a lot of stuff. And I'd be sitting here lying saying I didn't squeeze a quarter cup of Blues Hog in my sauce mixture. I mean, I think everybody needs that little hit, you know what I mean, in it.
Yep. I think that's how a lot of products get made too. You know, you're like, man, I really like this mixed with this, but I think it needs some of this. Let me try to go make something that achieves that thing. You know, I think that's how we all probably end up with a lot of our products. Or you could just, you know, steal Game Changer like Bill did.
Man, I didn't steal it. I fixed it. I made it better, you know. Yeah, I fixed it. I'm pulling a Brad. I fixed it, you know.
That was one of the funniest things I ever heard of. You know, like in St. Louis malls was like the big sauce. You know, it's like the biggest sauce forever. And I remember hearing Tim, after having Blues Hog, he's like, you know what you do with malls as soon as you open it? You fix it. Every time. Start adding stuff.
Well, I think I heard somewhere too, Heath, and maybe you can talk a little bit about it, but I guess Texas is probably one of your biggest areas as far as sales with Academy and whatnot. Is that right? Yeah,
it is. And not just with Academy being there, just Texas as a state in general. Texas is number one, and actually California is number two.
Is that right? I'll be damned. Huh?
It does. And then it comes back to, I think Georgia's number three, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Man, and how long have you been doing? I mean, you've obviously been competing for years, and man, you've pulled back now that you've really turned it into a business where, and you're in academies and Walmarts and all that. I mean, when did that change, that move pivot for you?
2016 is kind of when I broke off and started my own brand, I believe is right. Mid 2016, early, maybe spring of 2016, I think is right.
Right.
I don't think it was 2017. I may be off a year. Maybe I am off a year. Maybe it's 2017.
Right.
But I changed over. But I mean, I already kind of had all of my recipes and all that down. All I had to do was reorder some labels, right? Keep going. And it was good. And I had a pretty good track record going. You know, there were years previously that I was winning 15, 16 contests in a year. I was on a pretty good roll. And I mean, one year I cooked, I think, 10 KCBS, and I won 5 of them, and I cooked 15 MBN. I won 10 of those.
And you doubled up too, huh? As far as on some of those doubles where it's NBN one day and KCBS the next, where you've double granded. And I guess the same day. It's all on the same day. Yeah. All those turn-ins on one day.
Yeah. Back in the day, it was all like hour after hour. And it's, a lot of things have changed since then, but it's, they went to no own sites now. And it's right. Helped. And now you can actually cook pork collars. I come to find out they passed a new rule. So for guys that cook KCBS and things like that, that's going to be really well because you can go out there and cook a couple pork collars and a couple butts on a drum and be fine.
And do you still cook Murfreesboro every year? Is that one that you always use to hit or no?
I had to miss it last year because that was the Ace Hardware trade show. And we're kind of, now that we're dealing with Ace, that's a requirement. You have to be at one of their trade shows. And really the fall show was the best show. So it fell that week. Well, this year it moved to like August. Well, now in September, one of my wife's best friends is getting married in Canada and it's that weekend.
Hmm.
And so my wife has kind of given me that ultimatum. We're like, look, I've done barbecue forever. You can go on one trip with me and miss a barbecue. And I'm like,
well, you,
so I'll go to Canada. And I will say duck season does open that week up in Canada. So I might try to double do it while I'm there now. I did find that out yesterday, you know.
So, tell your wife I said thank you because I really want to win Murfreesboro. So.
That is a hell of a contest. It really is.
That's one of those where you won the NBN and KCBS same weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. And have you cooked it, Chris? Have you done both or have you just always done KCBS? No.
No. I will say this, though. I will say this, that I might be throwing somebody under the bus here, but the flavors and stuff will translate. I was down in Biloxi, Mississippi. And a guy, he took my class and he came over and told me, he goes, man, he goes, I ran your ribs and your pork all year long in NBN. And he won rib and pork team of the year running my stuff for my class. So, I mean, it's like, it's obviously translating over between sanctioning bodies.
Well, man, Heat's been trying to get me to come and do an NBN. He said, man, just cook those babies just like you do a spare. It's just do the same thing.
Baby backs are awesome.
Yeah, right. The same tip. I mean, it don't matter. And it's now that they've changed the rules, you can literally get by with six slabs of ribs, you know, to cook. And you don't have to cook whole shoulders or anything like that. And now using the collars to build a pork box with, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. Anybody can have your first set of finals. But I've never changed sauces. I went to a duel and won both of those. I'd make one big pot of sauce, and every category got sauce with the same sauce. Still to this day, I'm still using the same sauce mixture right now that I've still used before when I was doing all that well.
I think Phil does that, don't you? You're pretty much one sauce for most of your meats, aren't you, Phil?
I do a lot of it. I've got a couple of variations, but I've got the core PB1. You know, I use the shit out of PB1. So
Heath just texted me over that sauce you're using.
That sauce might be backstage, but man, the tips are light tonight. So, and I think Phil's still drinking. He's got a nice new cup. I'm going to show the crowd your cup there.
It's an official cup. That's a chicken and grin.
There chicken and grin cup.
I think mine's still in the mail.
I think yours is still in.
Mine was too. I had to actually go and pick it up from Bill's trailer.
Probably where yours is at.
Man, Jeff sent me three cups, the OG Shiggin' and Grinning cup, and Darren sent me three cups of the original. You know, he claims it, and I'm sure he's right. Darren's cup came before Shiggin' and Grinning. So, man, I got Shiggin's here, and Darren's here.
Darren's looks more official.
Yeah, Darren's is a little bigger.
Darren's is a little bigger.
I got a bigger one.
No, nobody's got a bigger cup than me.
I've heard that all my life. You got a bigger one.
And I've wanted to hear that my whole life. Yeah, I haven't.
Can I tell Heath's apple pie story? Can I tell this story? Bill?
Yeah.
Tell it. Hell yeah.
Heath, do you remember the pie, them auctioning the pie at Murfreesboro? Do you know the story I'm about to tell?
No. think so.
Not yet. He don't know it yet.
So Darren is raffling off a pie for charity, right? And so they start this thing, and it's like $10, $20, $25. It's going up about $5 increments. It's up to like eight. It's about up to like $80. And I hear Heath go, "Make it $1,000." And I said, "Holy shit, that dude likes pie."
No, I think he just wants to hurry up and get to awards.
Yeah. So he goes, "Make it $1,000." It was at like $80, and Heath goes, "Make it $1,000." And then he ended up losing. I think somebody bid like $1,200 for that freaking pie. It's going up $5 at a time, and Heath goes, "Make it $1,000."
Sometimes you just gotta roll.
It's gonna take forever. Eliminate most of you.
Awards are going to take too long. Let's make it $1,000 and go ahead and call out that GC, you know.
So I can't wait.
Let's skip the auction. How much do you guys need?
So I came away knowing that Heath likes pie. That's basically what I got. Right.
That's awesome. So, well, man, I remember, I think the first time I met you, Heath, was at American Royal, and that was my first trip there. And man, you were having dinner with a bunch of the Traeger guys. I think maybe that year you cooked on Traegers, if I'm not mistaken, huh?
Yes. That was the year that, I come out there and just cooked on Traegers. I wasn't going to come at all, and had so much going on. They called like 3 weeks out or 4 weeks out, something like that. It was like, look, got your name on the spot. Just show up. You know, everything will be here. And I'm like, well, I'll just pull my little trailer then. They got the grills. So at least I'll have somewhere to build boxes. And I'm glad I did, because it was 110 degrees out there.
And I think you walked too, if I'm not mistaken.
We did. I think we got a
rib call, maybe. I think it was.
Yeah, it was a rib call, but I don't remember if it was 18th, 16th.
Yeah, I remember I was, I don't know if it was on day one or day two. We were all at some restaurant, and me and Fred, and I guess he was on the Traeger team. So he went over there because I guess there were a bunch of y'all from the Traeger team. And I remember meeting you, and you're like, oh, man, your barbecue pictures, you know, you're real encouraging. Man, keep doing what you're doing, bro. I watch all your stuff on social media. Man, it mean a lot. I thought it was pretty cool. But yeah, it was man, since then, like I said, we've seen each other several times at different contests and different events and whatnot. But, man, I was really hoping, like I said, it'd be nice if you got on stage in Houston. How cool would that have been, you know? So
that would have been pretty cool. And I probably, like I said, didn't take it as serious as I probably needed to. I probably should have practiced more and all that. I'd done one little round at home, you know.
It wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't have helped.
Oh, I know. It would have made me feel better.
Ask Jaffer after 213 half chickens. Doesn't matter.
Well, I know next year I'm going to get some sizzle, some burn on that chicken. I can tell you that.
Give them char.
It may not work out too good, but we're going to try it.
Right.
The first time I cooked the whole bird, I was cooking on a Weber Smoky Mountain. I think it's a World Foods. And I had it up top, you know, and I open up the lid and it looks all nice. And Reagan goes, "You need to cook that in the bottom of that thing." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "No, not the top, but throw it down there in the coals." He's like, "Just throw it down there." And he's like, "That's where you want it." And I was like, "Nah, you're crazy." Yeah, he's right.
You do. You want it hot.
Did you cook Houston under your name, or did you cook with another team? Or
no, I cook with another team with DAR Equipment Cookers. Those are some of the Briggy Bomb guys, and they have that spot with Tar there. They do a lot of them.
I assume you're cooking Memphis in May again, right?
I am. I'm cooking a rib again. You know, it's kind of hard not to. I love a whole hog and shoulder down there, but I don't know. That rib is just so under-challenged. I mean, I know John David Wheeler won it last year for the first time in like 22 years. And I'm hard-headed. I've walked the stage of, I think, about 99% of every time I've been down there in shouldering hog and rib, it's a lot harder. So I like going against the odds. I know that sounds really stupid to some people, but I like going against the odds.
Man, I thought you were going to win it. That was my first time, and I remember you getting first place ribs there. And man, I was standing next to you, and you know, when they called it out, man, I thought you were going to win the whole kit caboodle. And man, you were charged up too. You know, you were charged up. It was pretty cool to see, you know.
So. I had a good final rib, but I will tell you, my prelim rib was way better that day Gotcha. Way better. And it's just, you can't help that. You know how it is. You know how two pieces of meat are.
Yep.
Three in that case. And it just, you know, is what it is.
Right. Now we got a question from Mullet Shakers. Let's see, a Shiggin question. Any tips or tricks during rib prep to avoid blood bubbles from surfacing during the cook?
We'll let you can massage it out.
Massage it out.
You can push it. I mean, I'm not saying that in a mean way, but you can take sometimes and push some of that stuff out if you work down the bone from the big end to the small end out of the meat, and it won't all the time work, but you can get a little bit of that bone marrow type. I don't really know the proper scientific term, you know, almost like that grayish blood spot, you know, what you're calling. You can push some out of the ends, but I try to tilt mine up some and let it drain off. It just depends on how it is.
Right.
Yeah. Next to that bone, like he's saying, you can actually see there's a, I don't even know, like not a vein, but you can almost see like a little channel right next to that bone. You can get on there tight and push a lot of it out, and it's still going to pop out the top. There's really no way to avoid it, but you can maybe help minimize it some.
Yeah.
Man, I usually just dab it off with a paper towel or some tweezers and touch it up with a little re-season and let it rock, you know? So
that's exactly what I do every single time. It's not worth me sitting there trying to push it out and do this, that. I just go on. I'll take a paper towel. I'm sloppy with it. I'll just wipe and grab that bottle and shake right back on, hit it with a spritzer real quick to start tacking up, and walk away.
Yep.
Man, I do it when I wrap, and I've got those long tweezers, and man, you can just grab that blood spot, and it peels off like a, almost like a Band-Aid. You know, normally it's, sometimes ribs don't even have them. Sometimes there might be a dime-sized spot right there, no big deal, but man, I just kind of peel that off and a little re-season and rock on. Yeah.
Phil, you just reminded me of something that we need to teach Heath. You said no big deal. And when Heath said he cooked 10 comps and won five of them, you're supposed to immediately say no big deal.
I mean, man, what a fail. I mean, that was, we weren't even close on that. Like, man, I think we were still kind of jaw dropped. I'm like, I couldn't think of something better than no big deal.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say I got really lucky at a lot of contests, and, you know how it is. I mean, Chris has been there, and both of y'all have been there. When you cook every week, week in, week out, and you devote the same time frame every week, I mean, you look at Brad, you look at Tim, you look at Travis Clark, you can name the ones that devoted themselves to going out and trying to win, and you have no choice if you put your soul into it to get better. And I think a lot of guys just don't understand the hard work that it takes to get to that point of being successful. And it's not, I hate to say this, it's not just with comp barbecue, it's with business as well. You got to push yourself to those damn limits every time, every day.
Man, I think that's it. You know, I mean, if with any sport, you look at golf, man, you can't just play once a week, man, and end up shooting in the 70s, you know, or end up, you know, below par. Man, obviously the more you play, you're going to have ups and downs, but, you know, I played a lot of golf in my 20s, and, man, I got down to a single handicap. But, man, it was because I had a job that let me pay 3 days a week, you know. And, man, I don't think barbecue's much different. I think Chris has got a story about briskets. Well, what was that? How many briskets you had cooked or somebody had cooked, Chris?
Well, I was just explaining to – I mentored a team, and the guy was just starting out. And, like, I explained to him, like, well, how many comps you going to cook this year? And he said, well, maybe eight. And I said, how many times are you going to practice? He's like, brisket's expensive, maybe two. I said, all right, well, you're going to cook 10 briskets this year, and I'm going to cook 40 competitions. So by the time you get to 40 briskets, I'm at 160. And by the time you get to 160, I'm not that good at math, but you're not going to catch me. Like, it's just hard. You know, even if you're more talented than I am, I'm going to outrun you, you know? And, like, it's just kind of the reality of it.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, cooking every weekend for sure is, man, there's no replacement. And, man, you can't, you know, we've all done classes and have classes, but, and you can't learn that in a class, the stuff you pick up week in and week out of cooking every weekend. Man,
well, the biggest thing is, and many of you were talking about it earlier today, is feel. You can't teach feel. Yeah. That's the one thing. Everybody's kind of got to get that feel theirself. And I don't wear heat gloves, and man, I burn myself up trying to build boxes and all that to make sure that feel is right with my hands.
Yeah,
And, you know, I guess everybody's got their own technique and way. I mean, I don't see how, like, Drew Davis hooks out of a bus tub. I don't think I could ever do that. I'm too sloppy and nasty, and I like stuff everywhere and everything else. I can't do it.
Yeah.
You ain't seen Kip Holtz camp. We've got pictures. I got
some good video of KP this weekend, but I told him I would only show it if he walked in chicken, because he forgot to inject his chicken, and he had his chicken in the brine, and man, he's digging it out of the cooler, and he's just shooting his chicken over the cooler with ice and drinks, and I'm just like, man, it's just like, oh, it looked rough. You know, he had legs, he had thighs, he had an assortment. Man, he had brine all in the bottom of that cooler. It was a complete train wreck. And I was waiting for him to walk, because, man, he normally does, you know. It was a crime scene for sure.
You know, talking about cooking a lot too, Heath gave me some of the best advice. This is something he probably didn't remember saying, but it was kind of like right after I got real hot and I was cooking and I was winning a lot. And what is that?
That's my air compressor. Hang on, I'm gonna turn it off.
I thought you were playing some sort of sound.
We got gunshots in.
Yeah, but Heath probably don't remember saying this, but I was cooking a lot and I was winning a lot. And he said, hey, man, like, you're on a horse, you're riding it, and you're going to get bucked. And you're not going to win like this forever. He's like, just keep riding and you'll get back on it and you'll do it. And like, it's over the last 5-6 years, it's happened to me a couple times where you go 6 months without a win, just keep cooking. And then the floodgates open up and you go win six of them, you know. But it meant a lot to him to be like, hey, man, like, you're riding high, but you are going to get bucked and you got to deal with it when you get there, you know?
Well, and you know who gave me that advice?
Who's that?
Pat Burt.
Oh, yeah. Legend.
I mean, I didn't come up with that. Pat Burt called me one night when I won the pig jig in Georgia, and I was by myself in a hotel room, and he called me, and my wife wasn't with me, and Mitchell had come over to help me. He was the only one there with me. Pat called me and told me that he was proud of me and all that, and told me to keep beating that horse. You know, don't beat it hard as you could. And it's true. And you can get back on it. But, you know, once that horse comes off of that fast gallop, it's hard to make that fast gallop go again.
Well, when you're riding high and you're winning a lot, when you go on that low point of, you know, you go 6, 7, 8 months out of GC, man, it's real hard to keep doing it sometimes.
That's right.
There's one of your boys there, Shane, damn Yankees. He got him a rib walk this weekend, made him some money. I was super pumped to hear the Yankee get out of his chair, which is pretty cool. Congratulations, Shane. Yeah.
Hey, can I mention something about this weekend? Phil, did you change your music?
No. Man, well, I did. It's different from last year, but and when the season ended in November, December, the first cooking in December reset the CBA, and I changed my song, so I've been running it since December.
Yeah, I'm watching awards and I hear the song and I'm like, this kind of sounds like Phil's song, but it's not Phil's song. And then they said your name. I was like, it is Phil's song.
And hopefully you'll get used to it. I run songs for 12 months. So I hope I don't have a reason to change it, but yeah, I don't know, for whatever reason. So, man, we'll run it all year as long as it's good to me.
We were down there in New Caney, and Eddie's music came on, and my dad goes, man, this song's terrible. I said, well, you're probably going to hear it a lot, so get used to it.
Man, and shout out to Eddie. He had a good weekend. He ended up GC in the contest.
He's just a damn good cook, man. He's a good cook.
Yeah, he is. Man, he's going to be our guest next week. I haven't told Phil yet, but man, Eddie called me and he's like, hey, man, podcasts are lining up, man, but I wanted to check with you first and see us, man. I already got Heath coming on this week, but man, I'll circle back and get you next week. But I think he had several, you know, it was a big win. It's probably one of our biggest money events in Texas, if you will. And he got a second rib. I was third. He was after me, a second rib and a fourth brisket. And I think after they called reserve, we all knew it was going to be Eddie, because, man, he cooks a good chicken. He's a solid cook. So congratulations to him. And Smoking Lowe's, he RGC'd the contest. Congrats to him as well.
What did the GC pay down there? I know they were paying a ton of money.
Man, I don't know. Do you know what the GC was?
Yeah, I think they paid. I don't know what Reserve paid, but I heard they paid GC $3,000, which proportionally was, you know, kind of low as far as all the payouts, right? Because man, first in each of the meets was I think $3,100. I think second was $2,600. Bill, what was it? $2,100 for the third.
$2,100 for third. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whatever. I think it was $500 for four. Whatever. 500 increments.
Eddie's in there. He got $1,000 for GC. So.
Wow, that's crazy. Hey, yeah. What were comps paying?
Hey, good thing it worked out on the meets, Eddie.
No kidding. Hey,
shit. I've seen comps. When I first started cooking, Chris, I was cooking drunk chickens and turning in two parts of breast, two legs, two thighs, and two wingtips in a box. Eight pieces always. It was crazy. And
get folks still doing it.
If the whole contest paid $2,500, you were lucky.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was in 96, 97.
I remember there was a comp. I mean, this was, I don't know, 2014 or whatever, but I go to this comp. I had no idea what the payout was, and I got four top fives and GC'd the comp, and we were leaving. I was counting. I was like, I have $575. Four top fives and a GC.
Well, I mean, y'all were talking about what comps paid, and I was actually filling out South Haven's application today. It pays pretty good money. It pays 10 places in the MBN at $2,000 grand, $1,000 first place, $800 second, $700 third, $500 fourth, on down. And then the KCBS is $2,000 and $1,000. And then the categories are $700 and down all the way through 10.
And the turn-ins are all on the same day. Is that right, Keith?
All in the same day, and you'll have whole hog turn-in. I'm pretty sure they're telling you the right schedule. 10 whole hog, 11 MBN pork, 12 MBN rib, and then also 12 on KCBS chicken, and then 12:30, 1:30, and then 2 o'clock finals would start for MBN hog. And so it's very doable. I mean, very doable in my opinion.
Especially, I guess, if you do just ribs on the MBN, man, you got to run and turn in your. What kind of window do they have? Is it 5 before, 5 after, or no?
The MBN is 15 minutes till.
Okay. Window. Okay. Yeah. So you can get your ribs turned in as you're setting your sauce on your chicken, and then come back and box chicken and turn that in.
Yep. Plenty of time.
I'm pretty sure they renamed South Haven to Drew Haven though. didn't know if you knew that. Not this year. He says not this year.
No, he's going to have to win it a few more times. He still likes a few more times. It's about like Murfreesboro. You got to beat 9 times.
9 times at Murfreesboro. Shit.
And I want to say I'm 8 or 9 at Springfest.
Wow. I think Drew's won South Haven the last 4 years, though, right? I think it's what it is.
Three, I believe. Maybe three. Maybe four.
I think it's 3 years, but I think he won both days of a double down there. Did they make it a double 1 year? I might be confusing a different contest, but either way, he's got the last few years.
He went to, I think it was that contest in Jackson, Mississippi, that was on the reservoir, and he won it 1 year back to back. And the year before that, I won it back to back and the 2 day champ.
Yep. No big deal. Say it.
No big deal.
No big deal. Hey, back then, I probably would have told you no big deal, because that's how good I felt about myself. Hey, but if you're not telling yourself you're going to win, then you're not going to win.
People don't realize how much of this is a mental game. I mean, like you talked about, you know, going to those dry spells. You know, when you go to a contest not feeling like you're going to win, like you're probably not going to. When you think you can't be beat, you're going to usually turn some pretty good food.
I used to be that same man in the bar scene.
Wow.
You know, it just happens. Anything in life, you can apply that to anything. You've got to put forth effort. And, you know, you got not always – life is about ups and downs, and those contests are going to be the same way. Yep. You just got to put your best foot forward and go with it.
And Home Grill Advantage donated $10 for a drink, Phil. I think you're probably the only one drinking. Did you take a shot for him? I think you did.
I did.
Appreciate the donation, Home Grill. I'm a designated driver tonight. So,
designated driver. So, are any of y'all coming to South Haven? Did I hear you say that earlier, Bill? You were going to come?
Man, I'm going to try to come for sure. And I think I might do ribs just to, man, do something different, you know?
I'm pretty sure since you're going to South Haven, I'm going to Sugar Creek. So.
But when is it, Heath? When is South Haven?
It is. I got to look at my calendar.
It should be the last. It should be the last weekend in April.
April 26th and 27th.
Right. Yeah. I got to make sure to double up Sears in Texas, but man, I'd like to do it for sure.
I was looking at South Haven, but there's that comp, like I said, Sugar Creek, Missouri. It's only 3 hours from the house, and we travel so much, man. It's hard to not go cook one that close.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. That I think South Haven Park is about 15 minutes from my house.
Oh, that's rough.
I mean, Memphis in May, now that it's back to the Liberty Bowl, I can be there in less than 20 minutes.
Are you okay with the location change? I mean, do you like it over there?
I mean, Memphis in May will never be the same because it's not on the original river. Now that they've redone all that landscape, it's never going to be the same. But I am okay with the Tiger, the Liberty Bowl, whatever you want to call it, Tiger Lane, Liberty Park, whatever you want to call it, because I like my equipment to stay clean and nice, and I hate mud. And yeah. So going down on that river, it's a logistics nightmare, but, I mean, it was ambiance. I get it.
And you got a pretty good record at Liberty Park, too, or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was the year I took first place out there. No big deal. I will say the year before that.
No big deal, right?
The year before that, we were the last time it was at Liberty Bowl when it got moved years ago. I was on another team. We took second place hog out there. So Liberty Bowl has been real good to me in that same sense, yes. But I just like that pavement, it's for sure.
Well, I got a question. Are you cooking Brookhaven?
I'm not.
No. All right. Well, maybe we'll go, Chris. That's Chris Davis, Crossfired Rifles. I think he's planning on going to Brookhaven. I've cooked it. I like Brookhaven. So I like Mississippi. I've done well in Mississippi, and so has Chris.
You've won more contests in Mississippi than West has.
What, one? That's it. That's all he needs.
Hell, Wes is always traveling everywhere else to cook. I think he tries to cook while he's working on the road, is what he's doing the majority of the time. I won't get to cooking up in South Haven, Memphis in May. I might try to do something in the fall, but this year my schedule's so crazy with traveling for events and different shows for work for you know, the Ace Hardware show and food shows and things like that, I just don't have the time.
And you're building a place too. We're talking about that. You're building a place to get creators out and do some videos and stuff. Kind of like maybe do a little hunting as well.
Yeah, we are. I'm building that place on our farm, and it should be, it should be a fun time. I'm going to put my podcast studio out there, a bourbon bar, have a huge patio and all that. And so just being able to bring in different content creators and kind of film a video and do a podcast and sit down and just talk business in general and all that, and just somewhere to relax. It'd be a good time.
Right. Yeah, let me know when to be there.
Awesome. Hopefully we get some plumber to be there tomorrow is what I was told. And after that, insulation will be ready. We got to do some wall stub outs tomorrow.
So how long until you think she's ready, Heath? Is about 8 or 9 month plan or what?
Oh no, I'm hoping by the beginning of June we're in there, middle of June latest is what I'm hoping. And we'll be ready for sheetrock right as soon as the plumber leaves. The initial plumbing's been done and all that, and the outside's done now, and we've got to add a patio, finishing closing it. But maybe the end of June. I'm gonna be optimistic. I'm trying to shoot for July 1st, but as far as decorating and all, I don't know. We'll just see.
And how far is it from the office? Is it a good hike from the office or no?
40 minutes.
Okay, that's not bad. Yeah.
No. 4 minutes out from Memphis. I mean, it's not
far. Yeah. Man, hats off to Serge. Serge had a good weekend. Appreciate the donation, Serge. Phil will take a drink for you. But, yeah, Serge had a good weekend out there. Man, if you don't know Serge, man, he shoots. Man, his pictures are really good. Man, follow him on Facebook. I don't know his channel, but, man, he's got really good pictures of barbecue. And, man, his barbecue scored. I think he was in the top 15 overall, which was, man, that crowd over 100 teams. That's solid. So,
For sure.
Did nobody notice Phil's background? He's pulling the Wes Garrett, the Wes Gerhardt background.
Yeah, he's in here. Somebody's got to fill in for him.
Wes always has a Jack Daniels background on his when he comes on the show. We always ask him, "Have you ever cooked the Jack, Wes?"
We just entertain ourselves.
Yeah, we do. We're very easily entertained. Exactly.
People are like, "What's this show about?" They're like, "Man, we just make fun of Wes and talk about Kit. It's really all we do."
Pretty much.
Sometimes we pass out. You never know.
Yeah. Man, sometimes we spend the whole episode tying our shoes, you know? So. Yeah.
How hot that is, too.
They keep donating, it's going to happen again.
How long have you been doing your podcast now, Heath?
Last April, we started it, and I think we're about 60, 70 episodes in now, something like that. I mean, we learn something every week. I mean, it ain't like it's real professional. I mean, just trying to just do what y'all are doing here, interview guests that, you know, trying to take a different approach and interview interesting guests, I guess, and just talk about the business of barbecue.
Yeah, because you've got different guests on there too, right? I mean, you had that one chef or something that was from that movie, huh?
On Yellowstone. You're talking about Gabe from Yellowstone. He's a really nice gentleman. Originally from New Orleans. And I don't know what it is. It seems like my past life in the beer business and then this barbecue, the way it's crossed, I've met a lot of interesting people and made a lot of connections throughout the United States and overseas. And so that was just like a phone call that come to me like, "Hey, man, I want to be on your podcast." Like, wow, where'd this come from? but just spending time, you know, and talking to him behind the scenes, really, really nice guy.
Man, and I guess you probably get, I mean, I'm starting, even with our little old podcast, man, I'm getting these messages of people wanting to sponsor. You know, they want to run ads. And, man, I think half of it's like spam or something. I'm not really sure what it is. But, man, I've gotten several messages this week, and, man, I'm not even replying to them. So,
we don't reply.
Ad agencies or something? I don't know what they are. You know?
I don't reply to any. We've kind of got all that. My podcast is not monetized. I'm just having a podcast. I'm not. I say that one of my guys may have it turned on, me overstepping, but I mean, we don't do any ads for anybody or anything like that.
No, yeah. Yeah.
I think you're going to ruin a good podcast with too much of that. I mean, some of it I think is expected, but I mean, I don't know. I think you can get a little heavy handed with the sponsors.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, it's and we've had several just reach out to us and want to sponsor, but man, we don't really know what we're doing, so or how long it's going to last. Man, I don't want to take any money from anybody. If me and Phil decide, hey, screw this, we're not doing it anymore. You know, we watched Schaefer had a podcast, and man, he made it 30 episodes before he said, "Fuck it." You know, so.
It's a damn work. People don't realize how much work this kind of stuff really is, and how much goes into it. And Chris, I mean, in the restaurant business, and still trying to competition cook, and then film episodes of that, and do other things, do barbecue classes. It take a toll on them, man, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I would always like. I wanted to know as much about a guest as I could before they came on, because I wanted, like, I didn't want them to say anything that I didn't know in a way, and so. Man, I spent freaking hours just researching people. I'm like, when I had Phil on, you know how hard that was to research him for hours? It was awful.
Yeah, I promise you I'm going to tell you some stuff that ain't in the research.
You came on immediately and told me that you cooked in a wooden barrel, and I was like, yeah, I didn't find that anywhere, for sure.
Man, I think editing, and that's why we wanted to do. I wanted to do it live. Is, man, I don't really want to edit it. And I figured, hey, and I'm talking barbecue every week, every day to people. Man, screw it. We'll just slice out an hour, and man, whatever happens, happens on the screen. And man, I can always delete it if I don't like it. But and we've had a few that, man, Phil said, hey, it's not going to bother me if you delete that one. No way. We're keeping that guy up there. You know.
I bet you. I can pick which episode that was.
Everybody knows what episode that was.
Man, if you haven't watched,
he didn't watch it.
or he wouldn't have come on the show.
If you haven't watched the Brad Leiniger episode, man, it's probably one with the most views. And, man, I don't think Phil has actually seen the show, even though he was on it. Man, I think he saw his shoes a lot, but he was three podcasts deep. And I think he said you're going to watch it on our year anniversary of this show, huh?
I'm not watching it till then.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you should just go live and just reactions of him watching it. And that's it. Just watching the
No, that's gonna podcast. We're gonna do that on the 1 year episode. We're gonna commentate episode 4.
Right. Great. Man, we had a pretty big one here. We got a $49, man. That's a big token. Ooh. There. And this guy, I think, I'm not sure, he might be out of California, is a fact. I think Rad Barbecue. Wow. Aren't you out of California? I think he is. So
I like that you
got to drink enough.
I like that you let people pay to make us drink, and then you keep having people on here that don't drink. And so it's just Phil drinking constantly.
I've got to drive back home. Yeah, we're going to use the office tonight, actually, to get on here with y'all.
What's that?
Use that $49 to check my liver.
Phil will drink $300 worth, and he doesn't drink cheap alcohol. You know, we had one episode, and I think we took in like $50, and I'm like, bro, how much did you spend on alcohol? I said, man, you don't want to know. It was probably about a $300 bottle that he polished off. I don't know what it was, because, man, I'm not up on all the fancy. Yeah, it gets pretty bougie on the alcohol. Not on the hotels, but on the alcohol, you know.
In the last
that's
week.
That's why I can get bougie on the alcohol. It's because I take it save since on the Houston.
I think I bought 20 something bottles of bourbon.
Is that right? Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I bought another full set of Weller the other day. Somebody had it. I had to get it.
Man, are you a big bourbon drinker, Phil, or no?
Well, and so I have like at one time I was, right? But I've kind of gone through every type of alcohol and I'm like, not drinking that right now. Bourbon was kind of like Christmas time, overdone it, like don't have the taste back for it yet.
Right.
So it's kind of scratched off the list right now, but I love bourbon. No, I do. I love a lot of things too much.
And that's so true. Because like when I first started cooking, man, Phil would, man, he'd go to bed at night and there'd be 80 cans all around his camp of these IPA beers that he was drinking. And then, man, all of a sudden he switched, you know, it was like 6 months of nothing but beer cans everywhere. And then he was on vodka, you know, and he ran vodka for a while. And then he switched to something else. So, and he's always switching it up, but going through different spells. I don't know what you're on now. Are you back on vodka now or no? Pina coladas or something?
This is the pinas. Got the rum going on. I got the rum happening. I haven't overdone it on those yet, so they're still agreeing with me.
There's still time, Phil.
It's still early.
How do you drink that much pina colada that you get sick? I don't know. I'll let you know how it goes.
Right. Well, I've been to Cancun a couple times. I know how you drink that much.
Well, shoot, man, we're at the hour mark, man. I'll probably end the podcast, man. I think for all you guys out there watching, make sure you're following Heath on, man, his podcast is Shooting the Q, isn't that right? It's on, it's Heath Riles Barbecue, but it's on his YouTube channel as well. Man, also I think he's got all the social medias as well on Heath Riles BBQ. Is that right, Heath? Yeah.
Everything's at Heath Riles BBQ, and my podcast is on my YouTube channel at Heath Riles BBQ, and we call it Shooting the Q, kind of like shooting the shit, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Now that was just an old country expression that I used, and somebody said something, you know, about that, and I was like, we just call it Shooting the Q, and that's kind of how all that took place with that podcast.
That's way better than Sugar Fried.
Yeah, man, a guy that thought Shiggenfried. I mean, I don't know who thought of that name, but
same guy named his podcast All That for Six Pieces.
Yeah. I do want to ask you, Heath, do you keep track? I mean, I know, like I said, you've got, man, a ton of more followers than me and Phil, you know, but man, I struggle with notifications of seeing them all just with the way the algorithm works on Facebook and, you know, just trying to like everything. Man, are you able to keep track of all the stuff coming in and out as far as notifications, messages, or do you have a team that does some of that? Or
we do. It's me and I have a social media manager, and we've got two other people that help as well here with that. And I'm on late at night doing comments, but we use Hootsuite during the day. And so all the channels between Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everything links into one dashboard. And so you can see the comments on one dashboard. And it's like a monthly subscription deal, but you can respond
What's
to
that
people.
Called? What's that called?
Hootsuite is what we use.
Huh.
And it's a lot faster to respond to all those dashboards. You can plug in, I think, up to 6 or 7 across it. So, I mean, you can even add LinkedIn if you want LinkedIn across it.
Hmm. Oh, wow. I need to look at that because, I mean, even me with, man, like I said, my following's, you know, not near what yours is. But, man, I struggle. I get people wanting to order Brian or cases and, man, they're sending it to me on Instagram Messenger, Facebook Messenger, my personal page, my chicken fried page. And, man, I like Fire Dancer. And he was there at the comp this weekend, and he had sent me a message. And, man, I don't know where he had sent it, but, you know, he wanted a couple of cases. And, man, he found out I was going to comp. He's like, hey, did you ever mail those cases? I'm like, fuck no, dude. I'm sorry, bro. I just, man, I've been overwhelmed with, you know.
Email. Push everybody to one email.
Yeah.
If you keep taking orders from here, Yana, that you're never going to be able to keep up with it proper. Yep. It takes a while to get everybody beat into one email. And just make sure whatever email you pick, stick with it.
Right. Yep. Right.
I did that a couple of years ago, man. It was the biggest thing. And people, they'll email my personal email, and I just reply, email wholesale at heavysmokebbq.com. Like, that's the answer. Like, that is the email, man. You won't get anything unless you go there.
That's exactly right. Like
that. Man, I like that. Huh. I had a little shigging I just did. So, but anyway, anything you want to, anybody you want to shout out, Heath, as far as maybe Royal Oak or whatnot? I don't know, you know.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm, you know, always Royal Oak is always burning hot in my cookers, and Yeti's always keeping my beer cold and my meat ice now.
There you go.
And those two companies have been with me a long time. And, you know, I love that Outlaw I got too. I'll say
there
that.
There you go.
For sure. And hey, I love that drum now. The Gateway Drum's a good cooker too.
Right.
And not too either.
There you go.
Well, cool. Well, I'm going to end the stream. We'll all stay backstage. Man, I know you're at your office. You might want to get home to that baby, but, man, we'll sit around and chop it up a little bit backstage. But let me just hit the end. Man, thanks, everybody, for watching. Hit the like button on your way out the door. Share the stream. And, man, we'll see you guys next Tuesday.